guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for SOAS by SOAS. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's podcast, we're talking all about scissors.
Yes, scissors.
You know, when Ashley brought this idea up to me, I was like, okay, but like, I don't know how long that's going to be. Like, how long of a podcast can we come up with talking about scissors? And then I went and pulled all of my scissors, and I didn't even pull all of them. I just pulled one of each kind.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah. See? There's a lot of different types of scissors.
And that's not even all of them. But They're all, some are similar, but they're all different variations.
Right.
So I like them all for different reasons. And I reach for all of these, shockingly enough, but I do have favorites.
Well, it's just when I go to the store, I remember going and looking for my first pair of scissors, and it's just, it's a lot. It's very overwhelming. There's a lot of different choices.
Yes.
And so I thought it was a good topic to bring up. Because, you know, you might be in that same situation, or maybe you just got your new sewing machine for Christmas and you're like, which scissors are the best ones?
Or maybe you got scissors in your stocking.
Yeah. And you're like,
I got some scissors in my stocking. I know Ashley got some scissors too. So maybe you just are like, oh, I got a new pair. What do I use these for? You know? So we're going to kind of go through some of them. I have some specialty scissors, which is why I have so many. But I definitely have my go-to faves. So,
well, before we get into that,
yeah,
how was your Christmas?
Happy New Year!
Merry Christmas. We are well into the new year, 2024.
I know, it's weird. It's so weird. It was good. It was pretty like uneventful. We didn't go anywhere or do anything. Brett spent his Christmas with his family in Pennsylvania, and Brock spent Christmas with his dad's family and all of his like 1,000 cousins that he has. They have a really big family. So it was just me and the pups at home, which was quiet and nice. And then Brock came home late Christmas and we did presents together. And I just sat there and watched him open all of his presents and he just loved it all. So that was totally like the highlight of my Christmas. So that was fun. And then I went to my parents that night for dinner and we did presents with my brother and sister-in-law and baby Levi and took some sweet pictures of all of us together. So it was good. Just low key. I think this one was a hard one for me and I wasn't expecting it to be because this is, it made me realize that this is Brock's last Christmas as an actual kid. He's 17. He'll be 18 next, you know, in this year. And, that's weird.
Yeah.
So to not get to spend Christmas Eve and Christmas morning with him was hard. I'll admit that, but because of that reason, but he got to spend it with all of his cousins. And reality is the older they get, the further they go on with their own lives and it's going to be harder for them to see each other. So I think it was good that he went and did that, but selfishly I missed my bud.
I know that would be really hard. I can't imagine. Like, thankfully I'm still in the thick of it. My son still very much believes in the magic. Bianca, I know she's very skeptical. So this could be our last year for that part.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole like elf on the shelf and everything.
We still have the elf because we've had Jordan since Brock was like three. We have one of those like wooden little mini ladders that leans up against the tree and he just sits on the ladder. So he doesn't move. He's just part of the decoration, but my son still won't touch him.
We opened
the boxes of all the Christmas decorations and he's like, mom, can you come get this out of the box? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, what is in there? Like some critter in the attic got into the decorations. It's just Jordan the elf.
That's
what he named it when he was three or four. No, maybe he was four. And, it was a kid in his preschool class. He was just insisted that he name his elf Jordan. And I tried so hard to get him to change it. It's been Jordan ever since. So, you know, pick your battles. We had a good time. And you had like three Christmases.
Yeah, we had three back to back. Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day. So that went well. It was a lot, though. It was exhausting.
Yeah, but that's part of it when you have littles and you have like cousins mm-hmm. that are close to the same age too. And
yeah.
Yeah. And you have your side of the family, your husband's side of the family, everybody's sides. It's hard. It's a lot.
Yeah. And then we did a cousin thing on Christmas Day. So, I mean, I say cousins, but I mean like all the adult cousins on my husband's side, which was kind of cool because one, we have, I feel like we're just now exploring these relationships because one, like, COVID happened, and before then we're just all kind of living our lives, but now it's like you know what,
with
that
littles,
was so fun we need to make more of an effort to get together because you know, like, life is short and family is what's important, and if you have that connection with those family members, you need to hang on to that.
I do miss, like, so my dad's side of the family is bigger and we have a bunch of cousins and we were all within like a year of each other in age. Year two, and there's a boy and girl in each family. Like we were all like right there together.
Nice.
And now we all live so far apart.
Oh.
And so it's hard to get together. And I miss those big Christmas days where we would all go to my grandparents and all the cousins would show up and all the aunts and uncles would show up and we would be on the farm and we'd open presents together and we'd be in this tiny house,
you know, with all of us piled in.
Yeah, and it was just chaos, but it was just some of the best memories growing up of, like, it was like having extra siblings, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And so I do miss that, but I did get to see a couple of my cousins. Well, I saw a few over Thanksgiving, but I saw another one that I haven't seen in years because they've been stationed in Germany with the Air Force. So I got to see her yesterday for the first time in years, like pre-COVID. And her daughter, Allie, and I, it was just so sweet to see them. I hugged her so hard. I was like, Jacqueline,
you don't realize how much you miss them.
Yeah. They're finally back in the States and they're in Ohio, based in Ohio now. So they're within driving distance. I'm hoping that we'll get to see them more over the coming years while they're there. Before Germany, they were in New Mexico. So it was even, you know, it was still hard to get to see them. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, when you're in the moment, you don't really realize how precious those moments are because you just want to grow up. Right. But now that we're adults and we're turning 40 this year, we look back and we're like, oh man, I really cherish those moments. So I'm glad that you're making all the time to do that with your kids during the season, even though it's a lot of work and it's a lot of Christmases back to back. It'll be memories that they'll keep with them for a long time. So there's something special about cousin relationships.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
They always have your back.
It's different than a friend and it's different than a sibling, but it's special in its own unique way. And I really, really love my cousins. I just don't get to see him as much because one of them has 8 kids. The other ones live in Ohio. We've all got our own things going on. So it is what it is. But I'm glad you got to do all that. Now, I have to ask you, what was your favorite thing you got for Christmas this year that you got?
I got something that we're going to talk about in the podcast. My most favorite. Yeah, it's the electric scissors that I never thought I would get.
Speaking of,
my husband surprised me. I was like, "Whoa!" I know, I got green, and it comes with 2 batteries.
Yep.
But we'll talk about this more because this is really exciting. I gifted myself a Samsung watch,
a smartwatch.
So that's my second favorite, but from my family.
Yeah.
And my kids also went and painted some ceramic items that they do every year. It's their little tradition. This year, Jack painted me a wiener dog. Which, like, you can't even say anything. You can't even be like, oh, like, we don't even have a wiener dog.
Not even close.
No. He just saw it and thought it was cute. And then Bianca painted me a fat snowman. But again, I was like, I would love something that I could like use, like a little like dish with a lid, maybe for like clips or something.
But when they're little, they're really painting things that they like more than what you would like. So that's kind of how you have to look at it.
Yeah, I
have stuff
shelf
like that from Brock.
Too,
yeah,
for like it's getting a little out of hand now.
That's so sweet.
I think that I have 8 now.
Oh wow!
Yeah, The one is a Christmas tree ornament, which I'm like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you put it away and then you bring it back out. But the other ones are all like statues.
Oh my gosh. So do they go with their dad to do that?
They do. Yeah.
That's so sweet. It's
like a little bonding
thing for them. Doing something special for mom. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Brock got me. So Brock went with my mom. And normally I give him some money because he likes to buy gifts, but, you know, he's a kid. Well, this year he didn't want any money. He had his own money and he bought us gift cards, but they were with his own money. And he was so excited to give them to us. And he put them in our stockings. And I got one for Hobby Lobby and my favorite coffee place.
Aww.
He gave me two and he gave one to Brett for Lowe's.
That's so cute.
And others thought, he's like, yo, that's where you guys go all the time.
That's true.
It's your favorite stores. And I'm like, well, I mean, he's not wrong. And I think the coffee one was more so he could get coffee too. But
well, yeah,
I ended up giving him a Elevate gift card too as well. So we just kind of pass the Elevates around. Like everybody gets gift cards to Elevate. It's our favorite coffee spot by our house. But my favorite gift this year, I actually got before Christmas. Because I couldn't wait to open it.
Oh.
I also like picked it out. I sent Brett the link. He ordered it right there while I'm sitting there. And it came in 2 days or 3 days. It's a new chair for my sewing room. For me to be able to sit at my computer, do my work, do my editing, do my pattern designing, be able to do, like, I didn't realize how much I sat in front of those computers until I didn't really have a good chair. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I was just using a stool.
Yeah, no, and thank you.
On wheels, which I use for sewing at, because I'm only sitting for a few minutes to sew, so it's not so bad, and I can wheel from machine to my table, and that's fine. But when I'm sitting in, like, meetings back-to-back for work, and I'm sitting there for 3 hours, I have to turn my camera off and stand up in the middle of my Zoom meetings because my back is killing me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I got one of those double-wide chairs. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 2 feet wide.
We talked about it in one of our podcasts, right?
Yes. Well, I had been looking at it, right? So that's what I ended up getting. And it's super plush. And it's wide enough for me to sit in and Biscuit. So she can sit right next to me. And then while I'm in my meeting, she'll like pop her head up from time to time.
But I'm like a child and I love to sit like crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can in this. It's that comfortable and it leans back and
it's
on
wheels
and it's not a high back. So it's not overwhelming in my small setting.
I don't even know if I use my back that much, to be honest, right? Like when you're actually like, doing things, like the back really just nothing.
No, I don't either. Unless I just like I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm just listening, then I'll lean back. I get comfy. So that was probably my favorite thing I got.
Nice.
Because it was something I absolutely needed. Oh, and the other thing I got was all the shelving that you can't see, but I have all new shelving in my studio. Mm-hmm. And I have all of those vintage machines that I got from the office displayed on these shelves. And I'm just praying to God that they don't fall on me.
I think you have enough supports now.
I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then they're all screwed into studs. I think we're good. But those machines are so heavy and it about killed me getting them up on those shelves. Mm-hmm. But it looks good. And I can see my floor in my studio again, which is just a miracle.
Just a miracle.
It is truly a Christmas miracle. But all right, so scissors.
Yeah, scissors.
Scissors. How many pairs of scissors do you have, Ashley?
Apparently only like 4 or 5. I can't find the fifth pair. I'm like a only buy what I need kind of person.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that
what I need.
I will say a couple of these I got from work.
Yes, that's true.
But I use them all the time. Mm-hmm. And so they are some of my favorites. So which ones do you want to just start with? Like, I'm going to start with
the ones that I have and you also have at the same time.
Let's do that. I love that plan.
Yeah, okay. Because I don't know what yours are.
I have a few. I have the same ones.
Of course you do.
Okay. First of all, don't laugh at me, but I literally have my name on almost all of my scissors.
Yeah, you're a weirdo.
It's because I take them to like my sewing club.
I don't.
And when I take them to the office, they're mine. So
these ones are really different looking though. So if you're tuning in right now and you want to check out, this is a very visual podcast. I would definitely go over to YouTube channel so that you can actually see what we're holding up.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll try our best to explain what they look like.
Do you use these for paper?
I have.
That's all I use these for.
Oh, really?
These are for cutting paper only. Cutting out patterns, cutting out heat and bond.
Well, at this point, they are not very sharp anymore, so I kind of stick to just cutting out, those types of things.
If I need to really get into, like, a package. These are Fiskars, and they are truly just, like, regular paper scissors, but they're easy action scissors, meaning that they don't have like that double loop for your thumb and your hand. It's just a loop for your hand and then a bar across the top. So it's actually a lot more comfortable and you don't get that indention on your thumb.
And there's a lock on it. So when you close it, because there's a spring in it, spring loaded, it keeps it closed and safe for, you know, children and stuff, which is nice. But then it's flat, so you can cut along the table.
Yes, nice and even.
If you have your fabric laying flat, you can kind of go like this.
Yeah.
And it's easier to cut fabric.
These are some of my favorite. And when they get dull because they're not expensive, I just buy new ones.
Oh, I haven't tried to sharpen these ones yet, actually.
The reason, and these don't open very far.
I'd have to take them apart.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to.
Okay. So these are my paper scissors. And I have another one of these, same handle and everything, that are Singer branded, that are also my paper scissors. So I have two pairs of these in different brands. Hmm. All right. What else you got?
These ones?
Okay. Your pinking shears.
How many do you have?
I have four pairs of pinking shears.
Why? Are they different?
Nope.
Are they just... Okay.
Two of them look like yours with the orange handles, and I'm pretty sure they both came from my mom's house. And then I started working for Singer, and I now have two pairs of Singer ones. So I just really use the Singer ones because the orange ones that my mom had are kind of hard to open at this point, and I just need to give them back to her.
Yeah, they can get dull, but you can sharpen these. There are tutorials online, but it's really one of those that, like, only use it when you really need to.
Also only get used on fabric.
Yeah.
Name on them.
This is definitely I have lots of decorative scissors that my daughter can use. You do not use these to make pretty edges on your paper.
No. And I have several pairs. You can sharpen. There are also companies that will sharpen scissors. Mm-hmm. And I went to an sewing expo earlier this year, and don't ask me which one, because earlier last year, I guess. And they had a booth with like a scissor company there, and they were sharpening scissors while they were there.
Oh,
so you could bring your scissors to the expo, drop them off, and they would sharpen them, including pinking shears.
Okay, so maybe we should explain what pinking shears do, just in case anybody's new.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so they're like zigzag scissors. So the edges are not straight. The blades are like a zigzag, like triangles up and down, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll hold them up really close. And so they basically cut little zigzags all the way, like little triangles all the way around the edge of your fabric. This is really great for wovens if they fray. Or any kind of fraying. It's a great way to finish the edges of a seam. It can also be very decorative. I've used this around the edges of like Christmas ornaments, like with felt and stuff. Yeah. So they can have multi-purpose, but typically if you're doing something with a cotton or woven or that frays, this is a great way to prevent the fraying and use the pinking shears.
Yeah, especially when you're you're manipulating the fabric more. Fabric tends to fray more when you're, you know, playing with it and doing stuff with it. So even just to like do it before you've even started your project, like, because some people wait till after the item is put together and then they do the pinking. But even doing it before, depending on the type of project, but this is definitely a must have if you're working with like cottons
and even like woven. That satin ball gown that I did.
Yeah.
That stuff frayed so bad. And I did, after I sewed it together, I would go through with the pinking shears until I got it pieced together and made sure I didn't need to make any like alterations to the fit. Mm-hmm. And once I had the fit, then I went back and serged the seams to really mm-hmm. seal them in. But mm-hmm. as a temporary fix, while I was still constructing it, and they didn't completely, like, the seam allowances didn't, like, completely fall apart and have all these, like, hairs everywhere, right? Like, satin comes off in hairs.
Yeah, yeah.
I did use my pinking shears on that, and it helped save the day, mm-hmm. for sure. All right, what's another pair you got?
I got these really pretty ones off of Amazon.
Those are embroidery scissors. I actually don't have a pair of those.
I use them as snips.
Yes.
Just for my threads.
So many snips. So and what, embroidery.
How do you use them for embroidery?
Well, because they're really tiny and they have like a teeny tiny point, you can get in there and snip threads. You can sometimes there's like stabilizing stitches that you have
for threads. Yeah.
Yeah. Or when you first get started and you do the first few stitches, you'll pause your embroidery and you can snip your thread. Mm. So I have snips. Mine aren't as pretty as yours, but mm-hmm. I have some Singer ones. And these are some of my favorite snips that I have. Mm-hmm. Because they also come to that really sharp point and they're nice and straight. And you see, I have my little retractor. Yeah. So this is just like a badge clip. And I have it clipped to my snips. And then I clip this part of the badge to the power cord on my machine.
Mm.
So I always have, so all of my machines have a pair of snips clipped to them.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So I will always have a pair of scissors.
Have to get up and go find scissors.
These are literally like 25 cents. And mine are cute because they have a little scissor on them. I don't know where I got that. But you can just order badge clips.
The box, didn't you? The Indie Stitch box?
If I did, that's a really cool memory of yours because I have no clue.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know. Thank you, Indie Stitch. I got this badge clip. I don't remember these. How do you remember that?
I don't know.
Lord.
It's okay. I'm getting old too. Remember that.
You're older than you.
I'm worlds older than you. Like
6 months.
Okay.
Okay. But still, I'm impressed right now. Like, how did you?
I don't know.
Wow.
I retained information that is not important.
Not necessary. But no. When it is, I mean, you're probably the person you want to have on trivia team. I am not. Well, anyways, I also have snips. I love my snips. But I also have snips that, well, I have my fist scars, but these are spring-loaded. So these
I had those, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these are the same kind of straight point. They're spring-loaded, and they're kind of like the snip version of like those paper scissors that we showed earlier. Mm-hmm. But I just use them for snipping threads. They're really close into things, and then they close and stay shut. And then another pair of just regular, well, I guess I have like three pairs of these little ones. The reason why I kind of stopped using these is because I can't clip them to my machine. There's no loop.
I had three or four pairs of those because I found them at a liquidation store one time.
That's awesome.
For $4 a piece.
That's amazing.
I know.
Actually, these little ones can be more expensive than those bigger ones.
Yeah, I know. And I was whoa.
Well, I'll show you my other snips real quick. So I've got some different versions. Do you have any of these?
Probably.
Okay. We're going to do a little
ASMR. I definitely have the little springy ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a little ASMR. I love the sound that these make.
Yeah.
So these, I have a little thumb hole or finger hole or whatever. And they are just little tiny, really sharp, little tiny snips. I got my first pair of these and they were all metal ones when I was in fashion school.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hang them from our neck. And because we would be like at these machines, like sewing and doing all these things, and we always needed these within reach. But I have a pair of these, and I also have a badge clip that goes to these. But they have a little cover for the tips so that they'll stay shut, and then,
well, that's good,
and not poke you. Yeah,
or
yeah,
like bust a hole in a bag or something.
Yeah, and then I have some portable snips.
Yeah, those are portable snips right there,
and they're the same.
But those things, I've had all of those, but they do get dull very quickly.
These do not stay sharp for very long. I actually just kind of use these for my crocheting. They stay in my crochet bag because I can just kind of pull the yarn on them like that. You know what I mean? Like, Mm-hmm. And then it will cut the yarn. They're not very sharp for much else, but they have never been flagged through TSA.
Oh,
I'm not saying that you won't get flagged, but because they're like a dollar,
yeah,
it's not a big deal. But if you want to crochet in the airport or on the plane and you need a way to like cut off your yeah. yarn and change colors or whatever, these are what I take with me, and they've never been flagged.
What did they say to use, like nail clippers? That's like the only thing that people said that you could bring on. Well, apparently you can bring those ones.
Yeah, I think the blades have to be like a certain size or smaller, and so these have been fine.
Have they ever pulled them out of your bag? They just never like set off any bells.
No, and again, I'm not saying that they won't, but if they do confiscate these, I'm not going to be upset about it because they were literally like a dollar. Whereas if they took any of my other scissors, I would not be boarding the plane. I'd be taking them back home and rebooking my flight because I love my scissors. And then another pair, well, I guess that's kind of my snips. We'll leave those as my snips. I have some other small scissors, but they're more embroidery. So those are my snips that are my go-to. So
nice.
You can't have too many pairs of snips.
No, you can't. Cause like I said, I can't even find half of them right now.
They walk away.
These ones are good though. I haven't lost them. I don't know.
I do like those and they are really pretty.
They are
pretty. There's like ones that are gold or ones that yours are like that rainbow, like iridescent kind of look. And then they even have ones that will fold over as like travel ones and they're really pretty. And you might be able to travel with those too. I'm not sure. But okay, what's your next pair of scissors?
Okay, so I haven't used these yet, so I can't say that they're my favorite, but I feel like I'm gonna love this. But I would love to know when you use them so that I know when to use. But this is from Amazon. This one was only $50 Canadian, so probably even cheaper for you.
Yeah.
But it comes with, here, I'll turn it on so you can hear if you're not
watching. Brace yourself. I wouldn't put it too close to the microphone. Yeah, they're loud.
It sounds,
So I have the pink ones.
Comes with two blades.
So there's two different blades.
One,
and it should say in the instructions, or at least mine came with two different blades. One, they're shaped a little differently.
Okay.
And one is for cutting like cardboard and like heavier duty stuff. And then one is cut for cutting other more delicate things. And so,
they both come in handy. Mm-hmm. For a stand charger for a second battery, which is pretty cool. So
you always have a battery that's charged.
Wow. That's the theory.
And yours came with a nice case. Mine came with like a hard case, like a hard pink case. Looks like a little toolbox. Yeah.
It even came with ear plugs.
That's not a bad idea because these are really loud.
Yeah, they are.
So I use them sparingly. I don't use them all the time, but I've used them for a lot of different reasons. So I've definitely used them. Okay. One of my favorite times to use these, and it's with that heavy duty blade, is when you get something like a new pair of scissors in that plastic packaging and it's so hard to open.
Yes.
These are like sliced through it like butter.
Wow.
It's so great. So I've used that blade for that reason and for breaking down cardboard boxes.
This one says that you can use it on carpet. Leather and rose stems.
Yeah.
That's a vinyl floor covering.
Yeah.
Wow. Tin aluminum sheets.
Yes. You could cut up a soda can.
That's cool.
Just don't hurt yourself, okay?
I'll just use it for fabric. So you use it for fabric majority-wise, right?
Let me tell you which types of fabric I use it for. Okay. I use it for things that are hard to cut with a rotary cutter. For example, that satin green dress.
Mm-hmm.
When I was cutting that, I used my rotary cutter on that dress for the bodice pieces that were small. But when I laid that fabric out to cut those giant circle skirts on the floor, I used this because this protects, that was on my rug. This protects you from cutting into your floor. So you're not going to. And it's a lot easier to cut on your floor with this going all the way around than scissors. because you can't get your scissors level with the floor. So this is makes it really easy to go all the way around. So when I cut out Brock's fleece that I made his Harry Potter cloak with, you use this. Anything that is like some sort of sweater, mohair, any sort of thick, because when you, I can cut that with my rotary cutter, but then afterwards it like pushes those fibers into my cutting mat and I'm scrubbing it out of my mat. Right. So why even bother?
Right.
I just cut it with this and it actually prevents shedding. So I don't have as much shedding when I cut those kind of materials. Sherpa. Only use these for Sherpa. Like I don't cut Sherpa with anything else. So yeah, fleece, really heavy duty felt, thick felt. Yeah. Like that's what these are meant for.
Have you used it on vinyl or leather yet?
I have used it on leather. And I've used it on some vinyl cause I even have some marine vinyl and I've cut it marine vinyl with this. I've cut quilted vinyl with this. I've cut quilted material. So like, you know, you can buy pre-quilted fabric that's super thick and foamy. I've cut that with this. When I cut out my son's, cut up my son's baby blanket to make it into a coat, I used these cause I laid it out on the floor. So I used these scissors. So yeah, anytime like you see me cutting anything on a floor,
yeah,
this is the only scissors I'll use. Saves me time and my back and I get a more accurate cut. Yeah, these, I think in America, they're about $35 to $40 off.
Yeah, and they were like well over 100 when I first looked at them. And I feel like they were even more when I put them on my Amazon wish list. And when Adam bought them, I was like, oh, they're only $50 now.
Yeah.
With like that cute case and everything, I'm like, that is.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's
nice.
I'm excited.
I'm so glad you have some. And you're just going to be like, go. You just need to get used to them and get comfortable. And, just so you know, when you push this in, like when you push the button, you can hold it and let go and it'll stop. Or you can push it far enough to where it clicks and it'll stay on.
Oh, okay.
So it can click to stay on or it can just be pushed long enough to like do a quick snip. So you have, it has, it should have two methods there. Read your instructions just to be sure. In case yours are a little different, but yeah, congrats. But it is loud. It is loud. I don't, my dogs hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually go running.
Earplugs in his ear, in their ears.
Yeah.
So we get one of those happy hoods.
For the little earmuffs for the pups.
Yeah. So that's all I got, pretty much. I don't have anything very different. So I have some regular scissors that, you know. Oh, God.
Don't mind me. I just had a hole in my lip and spilt my coffee down my white sweater. Just on the white part. Like, it didn't get on the brown part. It's just on the white part. What is wrong with me?
Okay, first of all, this is I'm supposed to be doing that. Not you.
Well, here we are. It's one of those days. Okay. What other pair of scissors do you have?
That's it.
Come on, Ashley.
I don't know where they are, honestly.
You don't know where any of your rotary cutters are?
Well, we're not going into rotary cutters.
Oh, we're not? Because I brought several. So let's do it. I count those as scissors because I cut...
Scissors have a very clear scissoring action.
False. Okay. So we have our standard rotary cutter.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I have two here. One has a straight handle and the other one has a handle with like the little loop and you put your,
I don't like that one. I have that either. One. I don't know if it's just the shape of it. I want to like it because it looks like it makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
But I have the same one in your left hand and I'm just like,
my left hand.
Yeah. That one just makes it. It's just easier.
This one's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have like two pairs of these because they've come in kits with other things and I never reach for them and I never use them. But you know what I do? I take these to my sewing club. So if they do happen to walk off, I'm not super upset about it.
Right,
my
favorite
ones are the ones that are the straight handles. Yes. These actually have like mine has like a squishy grip. So it's even more comfortable. And I feel like I have more control over handling this and maneuvering this, than I do the other ones. So
I just feel like on the other one, like the blade just is like, it's not right underneath you. So you can't get as much leverage, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you just can't push as hard?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this is the difference in the angles, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And this gets in my way on the table.
Oh, yeah.
So, I have two of these. I never reach for them. I have two of these and they're my favorite.
The Fiskars, like, I have the Fiskars one.
I do
like,
too.
Like that one.
Yeah.
So like they make them in just bow style. So it's whatever one you,
yeah.
you prefer.
There's a lot of different shapes. And then I also have, this little guy.
I have that one too.
Ashley sent me this one. It's a little mini rotary cutter. I don't know what size this blade is. Do you? It's like 20.
I knew because I freaking bought it for you. The big one is 55 millimeters, right?
I thought it was like 42.
Oh, great. Or 44.
40. I don't know.
I think it's half the size. I think it might be like 22 millimeters.
Something like that. It's like, here, I'll hold them up together. So if you're watching, you can see. There's a the standard size rotary cutter and then the mini. And this is my new favorite little friend. And these are great for like detailed cuts, paper piecing, quilting, applique, like, oh my gosh.
Well, like I just made a top for Bianca and it has this like kind of intricate spot. So I'm cutting out the full shirt, but then I wait till the end to use my mini to just cut out that like, you know, fancy part in the fabric. So I like using both of them in conjunction with everything.
For sure. Really.
But and it's nice for all those little quilty projects where you just like, especially your paper piecing and things, you know, cutting off.
Yeah, when you're trimming seam allowances and stuff, it's like the little one, you just feel like you can get a little closer and you can see better. And this is the last rotary cutter I have.
Yeah. I haven't seen those before. It's so cute.
I haven't either. Brett got this for me for Christmas, and it's like a travel size one. And I have not used it yet, but it is sharp. He cut something with it. But if I just needed a little travel size. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, closes up and it doesn't even look like a cutter.
No.
We'll see. We'll see how much I use it. But
good man for doing his research and finding something we've never seen before.
I know, right? I think he just like searched rotary cutters on Amazon and that probably popped up. And he's like, well, that he likes the novelty things. And it's not the first cutting tools he's purchased me for Christmas before.
This is the first.
Yeah.
Hopefully
not the last. Now, do you have like a really nice pair of like fabric scissors?
No, not anymore.
What happened to them?
I use my rotary cutter for most everything.
Okay. Can we talk about just regular fabric scissors?
I don't really have them.
I have three pairs.
Okay, good.
And, trying to pick these up. They're heavy. I'm going to start with some of the basic ones. They're Singer. They just look like regular scissors, but because I'm going to drop these, but because they kind of have come down and then go flat, they are fabric scissors. And so these are dedicated fabric scissors and they're Singer ones.
Don't use them for anything else.
And they are very sharp, but they're very lightweight. These don't have a lot of weight to them. So, I mean, they're great little grab and go, or if you're traveling, they're great. I have some really nice Husqvarna Viking ones that I got as a gift from work. They are substantial and heavier. They have a nice like point here on this blade, but then this one's more of a square point. So it's got a really nice cut. Hold on. We're going to do a little more ASMR for you guys. Ready?
Yes. So satisfying.
I'm not cutting anything, but just hearing the weight of the blades.
My mom had a pair of those when I was young. Same thing with like the one blade looks a little bit different. Yes. Those are like classic.
And they have some weight to them. I use these a lot when I was cutting out like delicate pieces for that satin dress. Oh, Now, I have one more pair of really, really, really nice fabric scissors. These are ones that Brett gave me for Christmas last year. I will admit I haven't used them a ton because they're so pretty. I don't want to.
You want to preserve the life.
They're Guggenheim. And they're black. And these kind of both come down to a nice point. And these are, I think, from Germany or something. I'm not really sure, but now they don't have that same sound. They've kind of got a quieter cut, but they've got, but they have a nice like padded handle. It's black, but it's got a little padding to it. They're really pretty. They're really pretty. But
good for photos.
Yeah, for staging photos. But these right here, my Vikings are my favorite fabric scissors, for true fabric scissors. And then the last few that I have are specialty scissors. And they're all like embroidery kind of specialty scissors.
Which I don't have a lot. I don't have embroidery stuff just because I don't have an embroidery machine yet. Yeah. But I'm sure I would acquire them eventually.
Oh, yeah. But even without having those things, I use them a lot. So these right here are snips. Okay. So these are my little Pfaff snips, little black snips. But do you see that they have a curve right here? So how all of our other snips went straight. This one's got a little bit of a curve here. And that allows you, when you're trying to get in to your machine to snip your thread, you can kind of get into that little point without snipping into your fabric because it kind of curves up a little bit. Love these. These are always clipped to my Pfaff machine with a little pulley thing. These.
I see a lot of people with these ones for their
industrial. These are teeny tiny. They are great to like, they're very portable and to travel with. They're great little snips. The scissor part is really small. But they are just like little built-in spring. And they're great for snipping threads. But they also have a curve right here. So they can get into tiny little places
and I like that threads they're really close. So people will put like a magnet on metal. Their machine.
Yeah, these are metal. My Pfaff ones are metal. So I do like that for that reason too. These.
What on earth is that?
All right. So these have a little cover on the end. I'm going to take that off. There we go.
That is so weird. That looks like something that should be in like an OR.
So these are also for embroidery. They're a curved handle. They're meant to get in there and get really close. These are also great for like snipping like around applique and stuff. But yeah, so I use these actually quite a bit because I can really get in there and clean up my embroidery or threads or whatever I'm doing. But they do have this like curve up and curve down. So you can see like going So whereas like these are like really small, you have to get your hand way in there. These, those little snips I showed earlier, these really allow you to like have more visibility and get it. And these come in different lengths. And then they curve up so I can get right in there. But they do like some sort of surgical.
Yeah.
Tools. I do leave these sitting out on my shelf as like a display. And then whenever I need to reach for them, they're there because they're pretty and they're shiny and they're metal and silver. And now I'm hoping you've seen a pair of these before.
Those are the ones that I want and I still don't have.
Okay. So these are duckbill scissors and they look kind of similar. They kind of have a handle up top and then they drop down, but they're flat. And then one side looks like a normal scissor. And the other side is also a blade, but it's got this big rounded, like half circle on the side. And that's so that when you go to cut something and you don't want to cut through both pieces of the fabric, you just want to cut off like the top piece. This is going to protect you and prevent you from cutting through that bottom layer of the fabric. So like, for example, applique. When you stitch around something, a piece of fabric onto another piece of fabric, you need to trim off the excess fabric from the applique. This is the perfect time to use your duckbill scissors is applique. There's a lot of other times people will use them, but applique is kind of the most common. Love these.
And I want to use them when I'm doing like knit garments.
Yes.
Sometimes when you're doing like the binding and stuff, that's when I would use them because I don't have an empathy, obviously. But I still have yet to get those scissors.
All I hear is this dog in his toy.
Oh, I keep Blue, I love you. I know you have a new toy for Christmas. I get it. Guess that, baby. Okay.
A few more minutes, Blue. All right. I have one more, two more scissors. But I wouldn't say you would probably not call these scissors.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a buttonhole chisel. And the reason I grabbed it is because it's probably the sharpest thing in my sewing room. It's extremely dangerous. I have the buttonhole chisel and I have the keyhole chisel or the eye hole. Let's see here. I keep them in their own little bags because they're both sharp. And they come with a special little mat. Or at least mine did.
The rotary cutter mat.
This is not a typical rotary. Like, this thing is thick and solid, and I can't bend it because this is so sharp it would cut through most cutting mats.
Oh, wow.
So you want to use it on this. But this little blade right here, I'm going to take it off the sleeve and try not to cut myself. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It comes to a point on both sides. Yes. So it's really sharp. And it's a little chisel, and you can, once you do your buttonhole, in between, you need to snip between your buttonhole to open it up, right? And it's so easy to cut with scissors into your threads and mess up your buttonhole. This, you just press it down in between the buttonhole, and it perfectly chisels it out. There's no, like, stray threads or anything. You can get really close without cutting into it. Mm-hmm. I know there's tricks with like putting the pin at the end of your buttonhole to prevent your you know, seam ripper to cut, you know, too far or whatever, but this right here makes, you know, you do all this work for the buttonhole. You don't want to mess it up by cutting into it. This right here is worth the, and it was not expensive. It was a little kit on Amazon. But it's a little tool that I don't use often, but when I do need to cut open a buttonhole, it's what I go for, and I love it. So I grabbed it because it is truly the sharpest thing in my sewing room. And my last pair of scissors that I thought I would show you all, Ashley's not seen this pair before. You ready?
Uh-huh.
They're big.
Oh. What on earth?
They're Fiskars.
Yeah, I guess. I have those, too. For my tree.
For my garden loppers. I'm joking. I grab my garden loppers as a joke. But no, they're scissors.
Yeah, I guess. I mean.
No, that's a joke. I don't use those in my sewing room. I use them outside. But yeah, I would say that that's kind of like.
You use them when you're sewing outside.
It's when I'm sewing outside. Yeah, I feel like we've gone through a lot of scissors.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that there are more scissors out there that I don't even have. Mm-hmm. My mom has scissors that I don't own, and I probably should have gone, and she wouldn't have let me take them because she knows they would never make it back to her house. But she has a bunch of scissors. I feel like, okay, if you had to pick.
Yeah.
If like you had essentials. To pick three pairs of scissors. Mm-hmm. That someone needs in their sewing room. What would your three be? And then I'll tell you what my three are.
I mean, I feel like it would be pinking shears, a regular pair of sewing scissors, and then snips. Like, that's all I needed for a very, very long time.
I have a different opinion.
Oh.
Mine is dedicated paper scissors, rotary cutter, and snips. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
I would say out of all of these scissors, those are the three I use the most.
Yeah.
So
I do use my rotary cutter a lot more, which is why I can never find my scissors because I'm usually using that. And if I can't use my rotary cutter, I'll figure out a way that I still can use it.
Well,
that's like, you shouldn't
scissors.
Be using it.
Now you have electric scissors.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the other thing is, and people don't realize how often they need to change the rotary cutter blades.
Mm.
I will say I've always been kind of the person that will like put up with the blade until I can't cut
the
through anything.
Bitter end.
The bitter end. But the second that I change the blade, I'm just like,
oh, why was I torturing myself?
Why did I wait so long? Because they're not expensive to buy extra blades. So always have extra.
It can be. I mean, if you're going to go buy it, like, do you buy name brand or do you buy just like off brand?
Off brand.
Yeah.
Off brand.
But like the name brand ones, it's like 20 something bucks for two blades. And I'm like,
yeah, that's not necessary because they go dull and they're all like, you can get the same size. Like none of these are name brand.
I would like to know if there's a difference though.
No.
If they last any longer because they're Ulfa or if they're Fiskars compared to just like, you know, something off of what Amazon or whatever.
I would almost guarantee that there's not a difference. I do also have some rotary blades that are, I have wavy ones.
Yep.
To do a wavy edge. Mm-hmm. And then I have the other one that cuts the hole every few like centimeters. So, it's like a hole cutter. Oh. So you can, yeah, it's a really cool blade.
For why are you doing that?
Okay. So I saw this tutorial. This is how every great story with me starts. I saw a tutorial on social media. Basically, she takes fleece.
Oh.
And she uses this along the edge of the fleece blanket that she's going to make. And then it cuts these little holes so she can do a crochet border all the way around the fleece blanket.
Okay.
And I was like,
I need that.
I mean, I need that.
Add to cart.
Yes. And so that's why I got it. I'll probably use it once or twice.
Yep.
But I have it.
You have it.
I have it. Because why not?
It would be a pain to do it any other way. And it'd be very even and consistent. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So I got that. I ended up doing a satin trim around the blanket that I did for my nephew for Christmas. But I do want to make him another blanket and be able to use that and crochet a border around it. Because now that I'm crocheting. So,
mm-hmm. You know, that wavy blade, though, on your rotary cutter, I've used that with like my clear vinyl to make a decorative edge. And then you can sew that decorative edge on to the zipper. And then you just have that like pretty wave.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah. Use it for that.
I you know, you could.
For more that than to actually use it for fabric.
I mean, if you had like a knit fabric that doesn't fray, you know, like most knit doesn't, and you wanted to do that as your hem instead of like hemming.
Yeah.
Or like on the end of a sleeve or something. Like, I feel like that would be super cute.
It might work. I never tried it.
I haven't either. But again, like when you would use a pinking shear as a decorative border, you could use that curvy rotary blade instead.
I'm assuming that's what it's for, right?
Like, yeah, it's more for decorative than preventing fraying, because that's not going to prevent fraying like those pinking shears would.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be very decorative. Huh. Look at us coming up with new ideas. New to us, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe they're new to our listeners. Who knows?
Yeah.
I love it anytime I can feature different scissors. And I think I've built up quite a collection because of my job. You know, I try to feature different types of products in my tutorials. So anytime I can feature some specialty embroidery scissors or pinking shears or blades or whatever, I try to. It's kind of part of my job to feature those products.
Yeah,
I carry.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. But I mean, I reach for them even when I don't have to. So. It's not,
that's how you know you're.
Yeah,
you actually like the products that you're using.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the Singer scissors that I have, like this green, they're all the green ones. This one is my favorite rotary blade or rotary cutter, hands down. And these little snips are my favorite. And if I'm doing a lot of sewing and I'm walking around a space or to my, I just clip them. I clip them to my belt loop or to my shirt. Even. I don't know. I just love scissors. Invest in some good scissors, but you don't have to spend a ton of money. Yeah. I have some expensive ones and I have some inexpensive ones. And these like pretty ones, like specialty ones, estate sales, yard sales, get sharpen them up and polish them up and they look brand new. Yeah.
But to our listeners, if you have any scissors that we have not mentioned, please leave them in the comments so that we can look them up.
And that's a card.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know what your favorite scissors are in brand.
Yes.
We would definitely love to look them up and see.
The best way to let us know is to go to our YouTube channel, to our podcast, and leave a comment to the podcast, because that way our other listeners can read your comments and see what you're sharing as well, as so that we can see them too. So we love those comments over on our YouTube channel. Also, thank you to our listeners for helping us get to 1,000 subscribers.
Yes, we pulled it off
right before the end of the year.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. What a victory.
We have made $1.80 so far.
Oh, look at us. You know what?
It helps though. And
it really does.
If this helps just to pay the monthly bills,
yes,
I'm happy. That's all.
The monthly bills of putting on a podcast, because we have quite a few subscription fees that we incur every month, and we have been incurring for about a year and a half now, doing this podcast where we our online recording studio, our platforms that support and stream it out to all the platforms that you can listen to, our website, email campaigns. It all adds up, and our listeners supporting us by subscribing. Even by going into our shop on our website and purchasing those resources that we've created for you all of those little things really do help Ashley and I continue to be able to hopefully get into the green this year. And,
sometimes it takes like 5 years for some businesses, I hear.
Let's hope it doesn't take us that long.
I know. We'll get there.
But we really do enjoy doing this, and it is something that we have chosen to invest in. Mm-hmm. And so any way that we can help cover some of those expenses, it means a lot to us. But we just do it because we really enjoy it.
Yeah. Otherwise,
I think we make a good team.
I do too.
You know, I mean, we have our own unique dynamic. You know, there's been some comments about me talking too much. And I am going to mention this because it hurts my feelings. It hurts my feelings because we don't feel that way.
I don't feel that way.
Yeah. Because you and I are two different people, and I'm very much an extrovert, and you're much more of an introvert.
And to be honest, like, I sometimes can't find the words, and she scoops in and saves my life many times.
We've learned to read each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That me stepping in and filling the gap.
Yeah.
It's not me talking over Ashley.
I think that's what people think. They think like, oh, yeah, she's not letting Ashley speak or let her finish.
I'm watching Ashley can't finish.
I get a little stage fright still. To be honest. And I don't want to talk about that and tell people that I'm still, after 70 podcasts, I still get nervous and I still get tripped up. Tiffany obviously is just more comfortable. I mean, she does live events. She's, in front of a room full of people many times. You know, this is what she
I'm
does.
I'm in my comfort zone. And I'm over here pulling Ashley out of her comfort zone. So, and she's grown a lot, and she's gotten so much more comfortable with doing this. And by the way, I'm not pulling her against her will. She's come.
No. And this is my idea.
The podcast was her idea to begin with. Exactly. I think she saw me as someone who would push her to actually do it. And I definitely have. I also am trained for like live things and filling dead air. And so anytime we've had guests on and there's like a lull in the conversation, I'm filling that dead air. That's just my like training.
Yeah. Well, you have to when you're doing radio technically, right? Because
or when I've done live TV, live TV on camera, that you can't have dead air. So no. You know, it's one of those things where you're just trained. You either have learned to do it or, you know, and we don't expect people that come on as guests to be that way. And so I fill in that air. And sometimes Ashley is like having like a conversation she's like all in and all about, and she knows a ton of information on. Sometimes there's conversations where she's like, I don't have as much to like chime in on. And so it may seem like I talk more, but it's not, if it was a problem between Ashley and I, we wouldn't still be doing this podcast.
No, exactly.
So I just want everybody to know, if you feel like I'm talking more than she is, it's true. But yeah. it's not to talk over her or to talk over our guests. It's truly to fill the air when we have those lulls. And it also helps us not to have to edit so much on the back end.
But sometimes I'll take a step back. Like our last podcast we have with Megan, which is last week. Like, I'm not going to lie, I didn't do a lot of talking, and it's only because I want Megan to talk as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to shut her down. Yeah. Bethany's giving the questions.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I'll just add in my things when I can, but I'm just happy to be there too. But I know that people might say something about that podcast, because I know I was in it. I didn't say a lot, but that's okay.
Well, and
I'm okay with that.
The questions, I mean, like, that's just my nature. Like, I feel like I should have gone to school for communications.
You're good and journalism. With like bringing up those. I'm like, I'm so not good. I would need a script to have like questions set up. And we usually like to do things kind of like
ad lib.
Yep, exactly.
Impromptu.
It just makes it more not natural just to talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anytime someone leaves those comments on our YouTube channel or somewhere else, I will let you know that I will be removing those comments, because they are offensive and they're hurtful and they're not constructive or helpful in any way. And so I do remove them because I just don't think that they're necessary and they hurt my feelings. And every time it happens, I go to Ashley and I'm like, am I doing something wrong? Am I a bad person? And it really makes me question myself in so many ways. It tears me down. It does. It does. It does.
Don't.
But at the same time, this is my job. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I am who I am. This is my personality. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't have to apologize for that.
No.
I think if we were both like me or both like you, this podcast wouldn't work. I think because you and I are different in this way, it does work. We'd
probably be more competitive and trying.
Oh my God. First of all, if we were both like me, we would just both be talking the whole time right over each other.
Yes. Exactly.
And if we were both like you, we would just be like.
Just dead air.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, that's the truth. We do make a good team.
I would be interested to hear myself only all by myself. And how much I could actually, I'd probably have to do a lot of editing, like a lot, just cutting out the, okay, what am I going to say next? ChatGPT, help me.
Help me. And my ADHD brain has already got like the next three questions while you're answering the current question.
That's amazing. See, I'm so like in the moment, and then I'm just like, now I need to think of a question. Oh, shoot. I've been listening this whole time.
I also always try to find a way to relate to the conversation or the person that we're interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they say something that triggers some memory for me or something I can relate to for the topic, I will share that to be relatable to the person, to build that rapport with the person.
Like, you're not the only one.
Not it's to just me. Talk to, it's to almost like validate, like, I agree with what they're saying.
And I think people can be misconstrued, like, Bethany's talking about herself again. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to say that I relate to our guest.
Yeah.
And because we all have similarities, and when we're talking about sewing, that we can connect with each other. So mm-hmm. I try to seek those similarities out, because the sewing community can be pretty small and we all have a lot of things in common. And I just try to highlight those things, because if I'm thinking it, I'm sure one of our listeners is going, oh my gosh, I can relate to that too. I'm just saying mm-hmm. it out loud. So that's the difference.
Like, when we have guests on mm-hmm. like that, we've never really had a full on conversation.
Yeah.
We are interviewing as well as building rapport. So you kind of need to have that back and forth.
Yeah.
Instead of
it
just
helps
like
the conversation flow.
Yeah, like a cold interview where it's just like...
It would be boring,
like,
if we just listed questions off and like, and they answered it. Like, okay, moving on. Next question. Next question. Like, that's not us. We want it to feel like this is a conversation we would have if we were all sitting around at a coffee shop or, whatever. So, I don't know. Just, it's always meant to be casual and informal. Mm-hmm. And, so... I would apologize, but I don't think I have anything to apologize for.
No.
And I'm really trying not to be I'm trying to undo growing up having to apologize for me being who I am all the time. And I always say I'm sorry for things I shouldn't have to say I'm sorry for, and I'm trying to stop.
You're Canadian. Canadians say sorry to everything. Sorry.
It's a southern thing too. And I think it's also like our age.
Mm-hmm.
We were always like having to apologize for just being present.
I just watched a video and it was a man who said that he is a recovering people pleaser.
Oh.
And I'm like, maybe that's what we are. Going into 40.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Going into 40.
So me deleting those comments is me learning to stand up for myself.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, I'm so done.
Yeah. I've definitely turned a corner, flipped a page. I'm intentionally trying not to be a people pleaser. I definitely want to please people.
Yeah.
That I don't think we'll ever go away.
It's our nature. We can't get away from it.
When I work really hard.
Yeah.
And we work really hard to put out this podcast and we get comments like that that are not constructive and not helpful and they're just hurtful and mean and putting people down. Like I will not stand for, because I am proud of what we do here on this platform and with our podcast, and we have a lot of people that really enjoy it. Is every episode for everybody? No. But we can't please everybody every single week. But the fact that we have been doing this consistently for 70 weeks without skipping a single week.
70
weeks.
That's
we have
amazing.
Not missed a single week since we started this podcast. I don't know of many other podcasts, even the big popular famous ones, that
right?
do that. They all take breaks.
Right?
We have not. We have. Maybe we should. We have not. But I'm just saying.
I feel like it's too new. Like, we can't. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
I would like to say that I hope that people wouldn't forget about us, but maybe we don't end up on their recommended anymore. You know what I mean?
Know.
Like, I don't know. But I'm not about ready to take the chance.
Well, it's not even that. I enjoy doing these.
Yeah, totally. For sure.
So it's not even like it's a lot of work, but at the same time, I don't mind doing them. I enjoy doing them. I think people take breaks because they need a break from it. But if you need a break from something, is it really what you should be doing?
Yeah, I take breaks from other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not this. So,
no.
Anyways, that's my TED Talk for today. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you for continuing to support us. We really appreciate it. We're excited about some of the things that we have planned for 2024. We have a lot going on.
Yeah. If you haven't checked out the goal episode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Get on that one.
Ashley, I took the whiteboard from my studio that was still hanging on the wall when this used to be my son's schoolroom, when he first started doing school from home. We had it in here and he had a whiteboard. Well, it's behind the door. Nobody used it. So I moved it to my sewing room. It's right where I can see it every day. And I've written my goals.
I'm going to do
on
it
my
too.
Whiteboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
That's the difference this year. We're making it visible.
We gotta write our word, you know, because we have a word of the year, which you would know if you listened to that podcast. I'm not going to tell it to you because...
You gotta go listen.
Yes.
We each have a word.
I definitely don't forget it right now.
Do you not know your word? I know mine. I think I know yours too.
Good.
Hey, Ashley, where's my little badge clip from? The things you remember and the things you don't from 2 weeks ago.
I know. That really left a lasting... It's a core memory for me is that Indy
Okay, this is exactly why you got to write it on the whiteboard.
Yes, exactly, because I'll forget.
Yeah, you already have. Like, you gotta make it visible. I think that was one of the things we didn't do last year that kind of hurt us, is not having our goals visible where we can read them every day, see them. Every time I'm in my sewing room, I'll see them. So if you want to see what our goals are and what our words of the year are, go listen to that episode. Set some goals for yourself. These are goals specific to our sewing. This isn't goals for our entire life, but these are goals specific to our sewing. And I hope that encourages you to make goals for your sewing, whether it's a hobby or a business, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. We're only nine days in, so you've got time.
It's all about prioritizing sewing in your life. And if you're tuning into this episode every week, that's a great goal. Keep doing that. And that'll keep you on track to continue to learn new things about sewing. Because like I said, we have a lot to come this year.
Yeah.
A lot.
We're focusing on sewing.
Sewing.
Yes. Yes. We always have had, it's always been centered around sewing, but we really want to get into sewing.
Detailed things. Like yes, scissors. Exactly. We just did a whole podcast on scissors, and I bet you didn't even know there were that many types of scissors, and there's even more. This is all about just bringing up topics that we probably don't think about a whole lot and diving in a little deeper this time. And
exactly.
Awesome.
All right. Well,
Until next week, happy sewing. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Be sure you're tuned into our subscriptions of our newsletter that come out every week. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.